Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get to the Tams.
Hooray.
Hooray. Before we get to the Tams rankings, last week we had to evaluate the coaching situations with the Tams, right?
Yep.
Today I want to – it's actually a big – it is a big week for Tams, okay? For Tams games, that we have some.
I mean, basically every team other than
Separation Saturday.
Well, every team other than Memphis, and I suppose, Tennessee, I guess, still has outside hopes. But the problem is, like, every winnable game matters for these teams because a lot of them are trying to get to six.
Right. Who can get bowl eligible? That's a good question. Let's do that. Let's start. Which of these teams can be bowl? Memphis will be bowl
Memphis
eligible.
Memphis will be bowl eligible.
Very clearly, Memphis will be bowl eligible.
Mississippi State easily can.
Mississippi State easily can.
There is an outside path for Ole Miss.
What's the outside pass for Ole Miss?
So they have to win three. They have to win three games against these four teams: New Mexico State, Texas A&M, Missouri this week, and Mississippi State. They'd have to win three of the four.
That's unlikely.
It's unlikely, but A&M's not what people thought coming into the season.
Right, but this is certainly a must-win against Missouri.
You've either got to win this one or the A&M win.
You've got to one of these two, and then you got to win the Egg Bowl.
Correct.
Which is not going to be easy, and then you have to, and you get the New Mexico State. Yeah.
Yes.
So you have to win this one.
More on the state situation, because they're a complicated matter. They're very complicated right now.
What? Mississippi State situation?
Correct.
Well, let's first back to Ole Miss. Ole Miss says they have two quarterbacks.
Correct.
Do they have two quarterbacks?
I think I actually, after talking with people down there, I actually believe that Corral is still hurt. Like, he has bruised ribs, and anyone that's ever had bruised ribs, like, you can't do anything. And so they did dress him out in case of a horrific emergency. But I do actually believe that Matt Corral is their quarterback for the time being.
Okay, and what do we expect against Mizzou?
I think the shot of life that they've gotten recently
be extinguished.
I think it will be extinguished.
You think it'll be extinguished?
Missouri's very good against the run.
All right, so then we got Memphis, huge game. I mean, let's be honest. Now that you're in the top 25,
Memphis is at that point.
You
want to
stay there, like every game. You can't. I mean, it's perfect because you have put yourself in a position where, listen, this ain't Alabama or LSU, where if you lose a game, you can stay in the top 25
for sure.
Once you lose a game,
or the national title picture,
you're gone forever, right? You know, and or the national title picture, right? So Temple, tremendous defensively, on the road. Tough place to play. It does help that they have, and I don't know if you knew this, one of the best 20 quarterbacks in college football. Brady White was named as one of 20 finalists for the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award. If you're Brady White, and I most of the voters haven't. I you know where I am on Brady White. I pull for him. I think the hatred for vitriol for Brady White is sometimes over the top. Not hatred, but the withering criticism of Brady White is sometimes over the top. And I was thrilled, by the way, that he basically told everyone to stick it with his play against Navy in the second half. Okay, if you're Brady White, but I also understand the reality of Brady White. He doesn't wing the ball, right? He loops the ball, and it looks kind of like eye test is different. But if you're Brady White and you're just named one of the 20 quarterbacks for the, don't you like, doesn't like, what in the world? Let me give you some more Brady White stuff. Brady White is ninth in passing efficiency.
Yep.
I mean, okay, so he is 11th in in completion percentage. And that's an easy one to dismiss. It's just, well, fine, he's throwing 3-yard passes, right?
Correct.
But he's
sometimes not even that far.
He's 11th. Yes, he's 11th in the country in completion percentage. 73.3% in completion percentage. He is 9th in efficiency. That's better because it incorporates more things, right? And how about this one? He is 8th in yards per attempt.
Yes, because when...
8th in yards per attempt.
Correct, because usually what happens is when he is... Because he's not throwing the ball as much, when he does throw, it's usually a big play.
Well, you could argue that, like you know, who else used to be? I presume that option quarterbacks, you know, Georgia Tech quarterbacks were probably high
for
back
sure.
in the day in yards per attempt. The other thing he does is you flip a 3-yard pass to Kenneth Gainwell
yeah.
and watch him go. Still,
that's why I pay attention to air yards per attempt.
9th in efficiency, 8th in yards per attempt, 11th in completion percentage. He has 11 TDs in 5 games, which isn't fantastic, but it's perfectly solid. He is what he is. Like I said, he does what he's asked to do. He's reasonably effective. He's highly effective within this offense, but you and I and everybody who watches understands his limitations as well. Is it at least interesting that he is one of the 20 finalists in the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm, is that what it's called? Golden Arm thing.
Yeah, I just think that he's the starting quarterback of a team that's undefeated and a team that...
And he puts up big numbers.
Yeah.
And he puts up good numbers.
Well,
people
he puts
look
up
at the
solid
numbers.
Like this is... He is just... Like, that's someone that's going to make finalist. Like, make list. Now,
right.
I would also add...
Don't get too excited.
Shea Patterson's on that list, too.
Do I believe... Yes. Do I believe that if there were a dispersal draft of quarterbacks, college quarterbacks... in throughout the nation, and there was just you could draft anyone, right?
Sure.
So Tua goes first now. Do you think Tua goes first now, by the way? Or do you think I had Trevor
Tua
Lawrence?
I'll say this. Tua should go first.
And
I were drafting, Tua would go first.
Okay, so Tua goes first. Who goes second? You know, Jake Fromm was tremendous last week. Like, I know you hate him.
No, it's not that. It's that Fromm's limited.
How about Ohio State? How about Justin Fields? Is he?
I think I would take Fields before Lawrence. I really do.
I'm quite confident that Brady White would not be in the top 20 picked in that dispersal draft. I think
yes.
that's fair. And I think that...
I don't know if he'd be picked in the top 50.
Every one of these weeks is a test both for Memphis and for Brady White. Kenneth Gainwell is awesome. People always ask me all the time if I think he's as explosive as Darrell Henderson. I think he's honestly... different than Darrell Henderson. He's incredibly explosive. And Drew Hill did a Twitter thread recently on his numbers and how close they were to Darrell Henderson's. My eyeballs tell me that he's not as explosive as Darrell Henderson, as sudden as Darrell Henderson. I think he's better breaking tackles at Darrell Henderson. He's got a different body type than Darrell Henderson. Flat out speed, I don't know. That's a tough one.
So this is how I've tried to rationalize it in my brain and see if you agree with this. I think violence, not the word, but it's the best word I can come up with. Darrell Henderson, when he would make a cut, it would be like a violent, sudden,
his
quick
cut exactly,
and then
right.
up. Gainwell
feels is smoother.
Yes, like you watch Gainwell and it's not like it's slow, obviously, but I'm saying like it feels like it's in slower motion.
It does.
And
there's no question. Darrell Henderson looked, it's just the explosiveness, the suddenness of the cuts was different.
Yes.
It's like I'm not saying Kenneth Gainwell is Eric Dickerson.
No, but
by
I know,
any stretch, he was a smooth runner.
Yes.
Right? To take another, Walter Payton was not. Walter Payton
no,
was
very
a,
jump cut, everything,
exactly.
like very hard.
And
cuts
if I was
and
to put them, One Darrell Henderson is more, again, he's not even getting on the field now, like, you know, whatever. But in terms of stylistically in college, was more sudden, was more, and it seems to me. But anyway, big game for Memphis. All right, you think Tennessee-Mississippi State is a separation Saturday, huh?
I think it's a separation Saturday, and this is, I think Mississippi State rolls. And I don't think they roll because I have some type of anti-Tennessee bias. I'm trying to upset people. Mississippi State has been navigating this suspension thing, and because they don't have to talk about it because it's NCAA, it's student-athlete related, they don't actually have to discuss when they're suspending people or who plays and whatnot. So you're having to kind of read the tea leaves. And it appears to me what they've been doing is they've obviously sat all of the non-conference games, including the Kansas State game. Yet the best indicator we had is they played the Kentucky game. Did not play against Auburn, but did play against Kentucky. So
they're trying to win the winnable games.
They're picking the SEC games.
And so they're playing against Tennessee because they think they can win this game.
Yes. And so when you look at power ratings and you look at all of these factors, it's typically not factored in because Mississippi State is clearly a different team with Willie Gay's on the field.
Is that why you say it's complicated with Mississippi State?
Yes, exactly, because they are legitimately two different teams.
Okay. So you expect Mississippi State to take care of business against Tennessee?
I do.
And then Arkansas has an interesting one as well because they play Kentucky.
And Kentucky can't score.
That's helpful.
That is very, very helpful. And I think Kentucky weirdly has gotten this. They've weirdly gotten respect in football, which is weird because I think if you've actually watched Kentucky, they've been wildly disappointing this year.
Right.
Like, other than the Florida game, when in reality that was just that spoke, in my opinion, more poorly of how Florida played overall. But if you've watched Kentucky play, they've been pretty disappointing almost each and every week. Yet, weirdly, we keep giving them respect. And so while Arkansas is obviously not a good football team, I don't think there's anything to suggest that that Kentucky's a touchdown better.
Yeah. It's one of the interesting things about the Tams this year. We'll get to the rank. We'll blow through the rankings here in just a minute. Is literally when we started doing the Tams rankings, we were like, oh, this is perfect. Like, because there's how do you address when you're a Memphis talk show host the fact that, yes, there's great interest in Memphis football, but there's also interest in Tennessee football and in Ole Miss football and in Mississippi State football and in Arkansas football. And how do you address that? And we said, oh, we'll do this Tams rankings thing. That'll be fun. Here's what I believe has happened. I don't think we've ever had a year, maybe in the history of college football in this area, when SEC fans of schools in this area have been as disengaged as they are now. I don't believe there has ever been, I can't believe there's ever been a year, because Tennessee, it's not just bad years either. When bad years follow years upon years of bad years, tend to get more disengaged. And so Tennessee fans are fed up. They don't like their coach, et cetera, right? Exactly.
Yes.
So they're disengaged. Ole Miss fans, they don't like anything now. Like,
yes.
they literally don't like anything now. They don't like their coach. They don't like their new chancellor. They don't like...
Which were picked in largely the same way.
Right. They don't like anything now. Mississippi State fans are dealing with disappointment, the sort of come down of, my gosh, maybe our incoming hero is not our incoming hero, and disappointment in the face of expectations. So you kind of protect yourself against the pain.
There was
the
letdown last year.
Arkansas fans, my God, it's a disaster over there, right? You had Brett Bielema, who did not live up to expectations, failed. You went a new direction. The new direction's going nowhere. They've checked out. Vanderbilt fans are checked out anyway, and there's no James Franklin to get them to check in. And so I don't think SEC fans, Alabama fans, LSU fans, et cetera, I don't think your local SEC fans are paying attention, because they're just like they literally check out.
I was trying to think of any other year, like the end of the Fulmer era, the end of
people weren't checked out at the end of the Fulmer era. They were enraged. They wanted him fired. That was like the end of the Finch era, which wasn't, people weren't checked out at the, they were on either side. They were that was a totally explosive situation where people care deeply. They weren't far off a national championship. I mean, there may be some year in the distant past when I just
see, like, I'm looking like
every single school was as checked out.
No, I don't think there is an example, because like even 2011 when Ole Miss was awful, Tennessee goes 5-7. That was Dooley second to last year.
That's like, pretty bad.
But Arkansas was good that year. Like, Arkansas was...
Good with... Who was the coach?
That was Petrino. That was the year that Petrino had the best team that wasn't Alabama or LSU.
Right.
Remember, they got blitzed by, like, five scores against both of those teams.
Who was the quarterback for that team?
That team was Tyler Wilson, I believe.
Right. And he was good. He was drafted. I mean, he was supposed to be...
He was
Anyway, yeah, you've never had every one of these teams stink.
I think stink
in depressing fashion.
Yes.
And so it's funny. Normally, there's this, you can sense it on the radio. Like, there's this huge, you got the tractor drivers in Arkansas listening.
Yes.
You got the whatever. And I honestly think you people have bailed. I've checked out on your football team. That's my view. All right, we got to blow through the TAMS rankings themselves. Jeffrey from the bottom.
Jeffrey from the bottom. Liberty comes in as our dead last team. They still rank in the bottom 115 every statistic.
They won. They're coming off of a win.
They beat a New Mexico State team that is slightly worse than they are. Congratulations.
All right.
Vanderbilt, that was one of the poorest efforts I've ever seen on Saturday night.
Graceful losing 31-6 against Ole Miss. Arkansas State is next.
Arkansas State is next. On most power ratings, there's not a significant gap, but there is a discernible gap between Arkansas State and Arkansas, who comes in as our number 5 team. Our number 4 team is Tennessee. God, these are sad. Number 3 is Ole Miss.
Number 4 is Tennessee.
Yeah.
Number 3 is Ole Miss.
Yes. Yes.
They did win. They did beat Vandy.
They did, and they put up 414 yards.
And they will. And they will play. And then the number.
We have a change at the top.
What?
What? We have change at the top.
Anew, the king is dead. Long live the king.
Mississippi State is now the number 2 team, which means your number 1 team in the TAMS rankings.
Holy smokes. I should have led with this. Is this the first time ever?
It's not the first time ever, but it's the first time this year.
Memphis led the TAMS rankings other past years?
I believe at one point they led last year. Maybe State led all year.
I bet State led all year. Congratulations to the University of Memphis. You stand atop the TAMS rankings.
Don't thank me. Thank S&P Plus. Thank the Sagarin ratings. Thank FPI. Thank Sunny
Moore.
Wow. Thank all the Las Vegas
very impressive
metrics that I use.
Congrats. Go Tigers, go.
I listen, it's a big
everybody.
Day for all of you out
Say,
there.
Go
you know
Tigers,
what?
Go Tigers, go Tigers, go. All right.
I don't think that's how
it was. No, there was the narrator at the guy who was doing the play-by-play of the Memphis Madness.
Was he trying to sing the fight song? We had no idea.
No, he'd say.
Just go Tigers.
He'd ask the crowd, say go Tigers, go Tigers, go Tigers, go. Who would say that? No one would say that. He was constantly asking.
Yeah.
If you want to ask people to say something, say, say go Tigers.
Yeah.
Go Tigers. They can say that.
No, it's why you should always just do, give me some noise.
Yeah, give me some noise
like,
would have been fine.
You can't instruct.
He was saying basically, he wanted them to tell a rhyme.
Right. Yeah, you can't.
Anyway, shout out to.
Can't give him lines.
Mike Norvell is not getting the credit he deserves this year because of everything else going on. But given the new coaching staff and everything else, for them to be atop the TAMS rankings, to break into the top 25 and be atop the TAMS rankings in the same
week.
What a week for University of Memphis football program.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.